Today, I'm going to be focusing on the soul. You know, being with apostles, we all know what the soul is. We always know that the soul is the mind, the imagination, the will, the consciousness, the memory, and emotions of us. It's a powerful tool that God has given us. But do we really understand why we have a soul? Do we know exactly what the soul is for? We believe it's for our ideas and our memories and keeping all that stuff together, but it's more than that. That's why today I'm going to be teaching on understanding the divine purpose of your soul. A couple weeks back, you know, I was minding my business, and of course, like everyone else, negative thoughts came to me, and I dealt with them the usual way we usually deal with them. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Those thoughts are not a part of me, Lord, and I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. And of course, they went away. But then I realized the Lord gave me a scripture, and it made me realize right then and there what was going on. In James 1 and 8, getting there too. Give me a second. James 1 and 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded. And it hit me right then and there when those negative thoughts came to me and I disagreed with those thoughts. I was like, those thoughts were me. Why am I disagreeing with them? So that made me realize those thoughts weren't me. And it was like I had an open vision. I saw something stuck like this together, and it was like a leech coming right off and separating. Coming two things. And I realized that my thoughts are not me. That made me realize that my soul. Apostle said this Sunday, and I was like, yes, my soul is not me. That's why, number one, we must understand the revelation of the separation. If you go to Romans 12 and 2. This is my go-to scripture for the soul all the time. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove it is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And it says, be not conformed to this world. When I see conformed now that I understand the separation, it's not my thoughts trying to conform. It's something like on the outside trying to conform me. So now we're seeing that these thoughts try to come in bombarding me, and you see something on the news, you see something on TV, you see something, and it's trying to come in and conform you, but you have to renew your mind. We must understand that the soul is a resource that God has given us and nothing more. Your thoughts are not you. Your thoughts are not you. Then, if the thoughts are not me, what is it? If you go to Romans 8, right next door. and look at verses 6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Reading the scripture, I believe it's safe to say now that those thoughts that come at you is the carnal mind, the mind of the world, and that we have a spiritual mind, right? So what's separating right here? What's the separation? It's the separation between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. So when I realized what was going on, I saw that vision of the separation. I started seeing my thoughts differently. And I started seeing my thinking differently. Every time something came up, every time I was like, oh, no, that's not going to work. Or, oh, no, hold up. Who thinking that? Who thinking that? Is that me? Or is that outside influence? Is that me thinking that? Is that me thinking that, or is that outside influence? We separating the carnal mind, the I. I'm gonna call it the I. Why I'm gonna say the I? Because it's like, I don't really feel like praying all the time. I'm gonna say a quick shanana. I'm gonna go look at the devotion for a second and then read one word out of the Bible. I can't stand that person I work at in the office. They get on my last nerve. I just can't deal with my money, man. Money, I just can't. It keeps coming out my pockets. I can't get no more. I know I'm a man, but I identify as a woman. So that's the carnal mind trying to come in, trying to conform you, trying to make you into something that you are not. But what we have to have is the spiritual mind, which is the I am. I am whole. I am rich. I am free. I am who God created me to be. Once we have that separation, it's very easy to understand what is what. It's very easy to decipher the good and evil. You tend to see easier the deception. Easier to deception. That's sorry that you tend to understand easier what the deception is. Once you get that separation between the carnal mind, the I, and the spiritual mind, the I am, we get to the point where number two, we rest in the I am-ness of God. Turn to Matthew 11. Verses 28 and 29. It says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and shall find rest unto your souls. lowly in heart. Heart means soul, means mind in the scripture sometimes. When we, heart and soul are interchangeable. So that means lowly in heart. That means you put your heart, your soul in its right place. And that's where you find that rest. Because when you seek him, you find that rest. It is important for us to stay aware of who we are in Christ. Not just the, oh, I know who I am in Christ. But no, I have to constantly be aware and know at every single moment, every single second, who I am in Christ. It's not a whimsical thing. It's not anything of a folly. It's me. So I have to know me. That's why when a carnal mind takes over, when the carnal mind takes over, he's trying to take you to the future, to the past, but never now, because now is who you are. Now is I am. He'll take you to the past to think about the good old days, or take you to the future excited about something, some kind of trip you're going on. Or he'll take you to the past to think about the mistakes you've done. Right. Or take you to the future to think about dreading about one moment that you're going to have in the future. Yeah. Instead of focusing on who you are now. The scripture even says it in Matthew 6:34. It says, take therefore no thought of the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That means there's so much you got to do with now. You ain't got to be worried about the future. You ain't got to worry about the past. The past already done. Why you worry about the past? Worry about the future. Don't worry about the future. You got to focus on now. Because now turns into the future. So why focus on the future when you're worried now? So let's focus on the I am of who I am right now. Once I focus on who I am right now and realize that I am this on the inside of me, it starts to come out and then you start living your life and then the future doesn't even matter. The future takes care of itself. So how do we stay aware? How do we stay conscious of who we are? Let's go to Philippians 4. It says it right here in Philippians 4. Verses we're gonna start with verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things have a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. I mean, I ain't got to explain this scripture too much to you. It's saying it plain as day what you have to do. Think on the truth. Think on being honest. Think of the things that are just. Think of the things that are pure, lovely. What sort of things of a good report? Think on these things. Now, I know some of y'all are saying right now, "Ooh, that's tough. You mean all the time? I got to think of all these things all the time?" Let me ask you a question. Who said that? Who said that? It's a good question, isn't it? That's why you got to catch. It's so, we have been ingrained to think that our mind is us for our entire lives. We go to school to cultivate our minds. We as a baby, we teach them ABCs, 1, 2, 3, because we need to cultivate our minds. Yes, but we say, oh yeah, we got to think this way. You got to think. You can't do this because you got to do that. We always are cultivating our minds. We're always growing our intellect. And we never, ever, it gets to the point to where it started to merge into us. And we started thinking that our mind, our ideas, our thoughts are all us. But it's not really the truth at all. So that's why it's very hard. It's going to be a conditioning period of getting you to understand that your mind is not you. It's going to be a time to where you're going to be sitting there and you're going to think something. You're going to be like, oh, is that me thinking or is that another corner of mine? Who is that? Who is that? That's not me. I had to do, and it's very simple. It's very easy. It's so easy to do when you start getting to it. I can tell you how easy it is. My daughter, Kaylin, she's 7. She was playing softball Saturday and ended up hurting her knee. She's fine now, but she ended up hurting her knee to where it was swollen and, you know, she was crying and all this good stuff. And yesterday, you know, she was on the couch and had the pillow underneath a leg and everything. And we were telling her, okay, you got to get up and start moving. But in her mind, all she thought about was that time that she took a step and she hurt herself. So every time we try to get her move, she starts busting out crying and like, no, I don't want to. I'm scared because it's going to hurt. I said, Kaylin, I said, look at me. And I explained it to her easy as it could be. I said, those thoughts of fear are not you. I said, those thoughts of fear are not you, Kaylin. I said, we know who you are. You know who you are. You're strong. You're fearless. You're brave. You got this, girl. And I told her, you can't let those, every time those thoughts come up, you got to remember, that's not me. Every time I come up, that's not me. And every time she says, you had those thoughts, she said, that's not me. That's not me. And sure enough, after saying that's not me a few times, she got up and she started. I mean, of course, she's still limping, but she wasn't scared of taking a step anymore because she knew that those fears were not her. Once you understand that the fears are not you, once you understand that the problems are not you, once you understand the problems are not you, it becomes a lot easier to deal with them. Wow. I have myself out up here. I'm not the problem. I'm not the problem at all. I did hop left and right on my notes. Hold on, let me find where I'm at. Okay. All right. So we know we have to think on these things. Whatever's true, honest, just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things have a good report, and any virtue and any praise, think on these things. And we were talking about how much that's a lot to do. But you gotta remember also that you're not doing this alone. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And it says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not it, though. The next verse, he says, faithful is he who that calleth you, who also will do it, with meaning that you're not going to be doing this on your own. You've got someone on the inside of you to be dealing with this every single step of the way along with you. So whenever you had to pull up those thoughts, you remember the Holy Spirit will be like, hey, that's not one of them. That's not one of them. Think. Is that you? Is that you? So we have to constantly remember that we are not alone with this. Once we get our thoughts under control, that's the point to where our spirit, our I am, begins to take charge. Once it takes charge of the soul and takes charge of the body. Because the body's not going to do what the soul tells it to do. And once we are connected, we are able to produce what God wants us to produce. What does God want us to produce? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So those are the things we're supposed to be producing and from our spirit. It's a connection. It's a connection, a chain link that happens right here. It comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the fruit of the Spirit in our spirits. Then our spirits give it to the soul. That becomes the fruit of the soul. So they y'all didn't catch that, did y'all? It becomes the fruit of the soul. So once it becomes the fruit of the soul, that's when we produce it outside. Becomes the fruit of the body. And I love that part that says, against us, there is no law. So once we start producing the fruit, once we start producing the fruit in our soul, it doesn't matter what you see on the outside. It doesn't matter what comes at you. You can see any type of new article. You can see anything on Twitter. You can see anything on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. It doesn't matter what you see. It tries to come at you. It doesn't really matter. Because against such, there is no law. Glory to God. And it's crazy because once you get to a flow of producing and to the flow of separation, of separation, then resting and producing. You get to the point to where the impartation from the Spirit becomes a part of your soul. To where it becomes second nature. No, not second, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm gonna correct myself. The nature. Where it becomes the nature. I got a prime example of a person who's like that. Apostle. I'm telling you, my dad, we could be in the middle of Universal Studios, a fireworks show was going on, and a bunch of people doing backflips. He would find a way to talk about the Lord. He would find a way to bring up the Lord in the situation. He'd be like, oh, that's nice. Now, you see the Bible says... He was like, that's a nice flip. Okay, now the Lord said to me just now That's where we're supposed to be. It's to where it becomes the carnal mind, but it doesn't even matter. I'm not saying that the mind is the soul is an evil thing. It's not. It's actually very neutral. It's a very neutral thing. It's a tool. If I had a hammer, I could nail. A hammer is used for the proper thing, a nail. But I could also knock somebody across the head with it too. Just because it's a tool doesn't make it a good or evil. It's just you have to use the tool correctly. I didn't veer it off a little bit. Let me go back. So once we have everything in our mind, we have the Holy Spirit producing for our spirit. We have our spirit producing for our soul, and our soul bringing it to our body, which is it. We got that point, right? Guess what? That's the base. That's the minimum of where we're supposed to be. It went real quiet, real quick. We're just getting ourselves back into the position of where we're supposed to be. See, I'm gonna go over this real quick. You know, back in Adam and Eve, we were whole. When Adam and Eve messed up, we got separated. The only way we can get in contact with God was through the temples, which was the temple was set up with the outer court, inner court, and the holies of holies. That was the only way we were able to get in contact with him, period. He'll talk in the holies of holies, the people go out to the inner court, and the people go out to the outer court. And that's how the people knew what God wanted to say. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil was rent. That means we didn't need the temple no more. That means he left the temple and went to us. So that's what means when we accepted Jesus Christ in our hearts, that means we put God in our hearts. And that's why we became the temple. The spirit, the holies of holies. The soul, the inner court. And the body, the outer court. I mean, even Jesus had to make a makeshift court when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. If y'all didn't understand, I saw that clear as day. He was there with his disciples. He took a few more disciples, brought them inside, further into the garden. Then he said, y'all stay here and I'll go further in. Yeah. What was that? That was the outer court, inner court, and the holies of holies. So it's like I always say this, Jesus is saying yesterday, today, and forever. But Jesus is like a mountain. You can look at that mountain and you see it. But if you take a step over to the side, looking from another direction, you see a whole other light of it. That's exactly how that worked. So like I was saying, getting ourselves lined up correctly, spirit, soul, and body, realizing that we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body, is bare minimum. When I heard that slapped me in my face so hard. So the next thing, and this is the purpose of the soul. The next thing, we must operate in the refreshment of being. Operate in the refreshment of being. Take a look this up real quick. Yeah, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going too fast. I see people still flipping their pages. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Once we have our spirit, soul, and body aligned, we become a new creature, not only within, but without. Once we become a new creature without, it becomes noticeable. It becomes to the point where somebody looks at you, you walk in the big room, someone's like, who's that? They look at peace. How can I be like that? Let me go talk to them and see how they got to this position to where they are now. The greatness that is in you starts to become a beacon for others. Go to 1 John 4 and 4. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm going to keep reading, too, because their purpose is right here. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And the world there heareth them, the carnal mind. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. And he that heareth God, the spirit mind, spiritual mind, the I am. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, spiritual mind, the I am, and the spirit of error, the carnal mind, the I. We know the two. We know to separate the two. We understand how to separate the two, all right? Got it? Good? Great. All right. What's the next scripture talking about? Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. That means that our soul is not just for us. That means my soul is not just for me, it's for y'all. Yes, sir. What do you mean by that? Okay, let's keep reading, okay? It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, okay, of our sins, that word, of our sins. Beloved, if God showed us love, we ought to love one another. We ought to love one another. See, I'm starting to see now, and I started to see now when I was studying, that our soul, our ideas, our concepts, God has given us so many gifts. He has given us so many gifts, so many talents, so many things. And they're not just for us, they're for us to use so that people can see God. That's what the soul is for. The soul is for us to show God. It's for us to go beyond the four walls of the church and bring people to the gospel of Christ. That's why Apostle talks so much about us witnessing, about us reaching out to other people, because it ain't doing good in here. I mean, of course, we use our ideas, and we use our kind of, like, the ideas of the Skype, not the Skype. Lord Jesus, I went way back in time. The Zoom, the idea of the Zoom, we can use it in here. Yeah, but it's limited in here. It's past these four walls. That's why each one of us has gifts and talents. And there's more gifts and talents inside of you that you have not tapped yet because you did not know how to access your soul correctly. But now that you understand how to tap your soul correctly, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have concepts, ideas, talents that come out of you that you didn't even expect. And don't give me that. Don't give me that, that this is for the younger generation type thing. I mean, if you've been listening to Apostle for the past couple of months, we all the young generation. Yes, sir. So there's still, no matter how young you are, there are still gifts, talents, ideas, concepts that God has in store for you that is inside of you that he's going to bring out. Yes, sir. That's not only going to increase you, but increase the others around you as well. Bring that thought back to me, Holy Spirit. All right, it's calm. It's all right. So, as I close, hint, hint. The main purpose of our soul is not for us. It's for others. It's for us to show God, show Christ to others. That is his purpose for us. That is his will for us. That's why it's clear as day, even in Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I forgot I'm doing this. I got it. Amen.